Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Whoa. You're not?
No. Huh. No. You know this. You
That's
do.
News to me.
But he is my favorite conservative.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank
you. I do want a shout out, Edward. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Thank you. And to all the fathers out there, one of my boys is celebrating his second Father's Day.
So
shout out to Alex and Henry.
Yes.
Happy Father's Day, young man.
Yes.
Very proud of you.
So happy Father's Day. And you might have noticed we've been a little absent going live for 3 weeks. We still did episodes for you.
We did.
We did.
Yeah.
But we haven't been live because we were traveling.
We were in the Windy City, Chicago.
We were right? 2 weeks ago, but we pre-recorded episode for y'all. And then last weekend, we were visiting my father for an early Father's Day present, sort of.
In the great state of?
Arkansas. That's where we were. Yes. Last weekend.
Arkansas for vacation. Think about it.
Yes. Yeah. It was not a vacation. It was not. And we had to visit last weekend because on Father's Day is the U.S. Open. And we would not have had my father's attention
at
all.
That's true.
Yeah. And the
nor mine.
Yeah. We're doing our show right now during the U.S. Open.
Yeah, but it's a long tournament. It'll last all day.
Yes, I know. That's exactly what you're going to do when we're done. So we start each show until the election with the latest polling. And it's been a while since we've had that. So let's get to it. In the Real Clear Politics, that's the RCP, national average, Trump versus Biden. Trump last week was up 1.1. He is still up, but now only up 0.8. So that's a slight drop, well within the margin of error.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I even like that number, because
they're so close.
Well, but you're putting in, you know, California and Texas and Florida all in this huge conglomeration of a number.
That's why it's called a national
average. But since we don't elect through the popular vote,
right,
you know, things
true.
Come more down to more battleground states, which we will get into. However,
so this day in history, this is another little part that Edward added. So June 16th in 2020, Biden was up 8.5. Yeah.
Wow.
And why don't you give us the second part?
On June 16th, this same day, which is when we're doing this, in 2016, our good friend and just all-around good person, Hillary Clinton, was up 5.8. So
it is significant.
It is. Now, remember, now this is June 16th, 2020. This was about 3 weeks.
2016.
This was about 3 weeks before the culmination of her email scandal. So she was in the thick of it. Nobody knew what was going to happen.
And she was still up.
Oh, well, she was still up, yeah.
But that was a drop.
But then, yeah, that was like July 3rd where James Comey decided he was going to play judge, jury, and, you know, everything to it and not charge her. So.
Yes. So I guess our point is that even though Trump is only up 0.8, if you look back again this day in history, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
huge.
Again, it's like a 9-point swing. Yes. Against Biden last time.
Nobody wants Biden. That's really clear. I don't even think the Democrats want Biden. And let's talk about the battleground
states. Let's go to the battleground states.
All right.
Let's start in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Last week, Trump was up 2.3. He maintains that up 2.3.
Okay.
So North Carolina, Mr. Biden, North Carolina is getting out of hand. Last week, Trump was up 5. He is now up 5.3.
It's supposed to be President Biden. Remember my dad told
you. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. President.
They're both presidents. So let's just say Biden and Trump for simplicity.
How about the cadaver in chief?
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Give us the next battleground state.
Let's go to Georgia, which
should
was a battleground last time. Last week, former President Trump was up 4 and he is now up 4.8.
Yeah.
So he's increasing that lead there.
All right. Michigan, the one that I think that is the most critical. Last week, Trump was up 1.1. He's still up, but it's been a big drop. He's only up 0.3. So, Trump, get your people out in Michigan, man. Get them out.
It is, and let's stay right next to Michigan with Wisconsin.
Okay.
Last week, Trump was up 0.1, and he maintains that same slim margin of 0.1.
He's not going to get Wisconsin. I'm just saying, mark my words, people. No offense to Wisconsinians, Wisconians. I don't even know.
Wisconsinites.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, he's not going to get Wisconsin. All right. Nevada, last week Trump was up 5.3. He maintains that lead 5.3.
Yep, and let's finish up in Arizona, where last week Trump was up 4.1. He is now up 4.6. Now, Andrea keeps talking about Michigan and Wisconsin,
Yes.
which understandable. However, if Trump wins those other battleground states, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona, which he is up somewhat handily in all of those, he's not going to need Wisconsin or Michigan.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. Edward,
That's
there's an interactive map, which is on one of our previous episodes where you can do the electoral votes and you've done it several times.
yeah. And
Yes.
yeah, he would finish with like 278 or something like that. So
Yes. All right. So from now until the election, that's the theme of season three. We are bringing you topics that we feel will be in the forefront of voters' minds. So, Edward, what are we talking about today?
today it's going to be rampant crime and unsafe cities.
All right.
And if you listen to the mainstream media, everything's fine out there.
All
In
right.
fact, here's a report from CBS News.
Okay, let's hear it.
The FBI quarterly report shows a 15% drop in violent crime compared to last year. The latest preliminary quarterly crime figures from the FBI show dramatic decreases, a 26% drop in murders, robberies down nearly 18%, and violent crime overall down 15% in the first quarter of 2024.
Compared to the same.
Same time last year,
Okay.
yes.
All right. So what's wrong with those numbers? Those sound great to me. I mean, those are significant drops.
They are.
Yes.
However, again, this is coming from the mainstream media. This is coming from the Justice Department and the FBI. But I went and searched some different sources to find out what these numbers are meaning. And
Okay.
according to a website called The Appeal, now, a lot of people are saying, Edward, I'm sure you're cherry picking out of conservative websites. No, The Appeal is a nonprofit news organization that, quote, envisions a world in which systems of support and care, not punishment, create public safety. So definitely not a right-wing publication. All
Okay,
right.
and so what did the appeal say about these statistics?
Well, they looked at surveys conducted by the Bureau of Justice Statistics, and they suggest that more than 50% of violent crimes and around 70% of property crimes are never reported to the police. And for certain types of offenses, such as sexual assault, upwards of 75% of incidents may never be officially documented.
Right. So victims are not reporting incidents as often because they don't believe anyone will be punished.
Yeah. Now, to me, I think this is the George Floyd effect,
What do you mean?
where after George Floyd in 2020 happened, you saw a pullback of police presence in a
That's
lot
true.
of
That's true.
places.
Yeah, you did.
And if the police aren't there, people aren't calling the police, and they know when they do call the police, they're not getting the responses, that they just give up. And especially like property crimes, right? It's just like, all right, whatever, I got broken into,
And we've
move
both been a
along.
victim of property crime. I
Yeah.
mean, who hasn't?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, who hasn't? I mean, most people have at some point in their lives. But I don't know if it's a George Floyd effect so much, especially when it comes to sexual assault, because most sexual assaults are never reported. Because when you report a sexual assault, God, I can't talk today, and you're the victim, just the idea that you might have to testify, identify, and testify, there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of shame. So I don't know specifically with sexual assault if that's correlated to George Floyd, but certainly people are not being punished the way they were.
Yeah, and from this same article, 8% of total violent crimes in cities result in arrest. And the number is even smaller for property crimes. So even if it's a small violent crime, hate to minimize anything,
right?
People aren't going to report it, because again, an 8% rate of conviction and whatnot, not real good for the actual victim of the crime.
Well, I just want to shout out one of our listeners who gave us an incredible review, and this is his pseudonym, Ethan, but I know he is a victim of a violent crime and in San Francisco, and I'm not sure he reported it because the person who assaulted him on the street in broad daylight walked away, got away.
Yeah, and I mean, what are they doing out in San Francisco with like their vehicles and things?
Oh, yes. So I was just working yesterday at an event, and I'm glad you reminded me of this. And what they're doing now, if you park on the street in San Francisco, it used to be you just wouldn't leave anything in your car.
That's not good. Within sight, right? Yeah.
Right. Now, people are not only taking everything out of their car, but they're leaving their glove compartments open. I mean, they are making it very clear there's nothing in the car. And in some cases, they're even putting up signs.
Yeah. Please don't break into my car. Yeah.
There's nothing here.
Please don't break the windows. So.
I just want to add that people made fun of me for having really kind of bad cars for years. But when I had a bad, lemons, whatever. When I had bad cars, they were a huge pain. I never knew when they would break down. But when I had a bad car, nobody broke into it because it looked awful. Like nobody bothered. And when I finally got a really decent car, the catalytic converter was taken.
Yeah. And these people that are leaving these notes and leaving things to show, please don't break down the car. When their car gets broken into, they're not reporting it. They're just, it's the cost of doing business.
It's the cost of living in the
Unfortunately, cities. living in San Francisco. Now, the capitalist in me thinks you should open up a glass repair business, right?
Well, I'm sure that's huge.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big
one. Wasn't our car broken into in our driveway one time?
Oh, yeah. It was in Florida also. Smashed the window out and things.
Yeah. No, but I meant here in Alabama as well. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
So a 2022 FBI statistic showed violent crimes fell by 2%. While the DOJ's victim survey showed a 29% increase. What?
Yeah, so
is going on
the
there?
DOJ does a victims survey, and it gives you more of what a feel of what the people are feeling out there. And so so their statistics show violent crime down by 2.
Not the DOJ, the FBI.
The FBI, but the DOJ is up 29% on the same,
I believe, the victims.
Same statistics. So here's where you really need to read between the lines. You need to understand what has happened. So in 2021, the FBI instituted a new crime data statistics reporting system.
Okay.
However, this isn't some grand scheme by the Biden administration. This, back in, I think it was like 2010 or 2012, the FBI said they didn't like the way statistics were gathered. So they proposed putting in this new system back then and said it's going to go into effect in 2020.
Okay.
With COVID, they pushed it off to 2021.
Okay, but tell us what it is.
But the problem is they made it so difficult for local law enforcement agencies to comply with it that many major cities have not complied with it because of the bureaucracy that's involved.
So and
which
cities have stopped reporting their violent crime?
Let's see. New York City.
Oh boy.
Los Angeles, Phoenix, and a bunch of other smaller cities no longer send their data to the FBI to be counted in the number that shows how far all these violent crimes have dropped.
So the FBI's number is not accurate.
So they're guessing. Line. Yes, they are guessing. Do we think these numbers are real? Absolutely not. I mean, to me, this is like another form of electioneering by the Democrats, by the administration, I should say. So, do we trust them? Absolutely not. Why wouldn't we trust them, though? Why wouldn't we trust the FBI?
Well, I know there are some examples. Give us the first two. I'll do the third one.
Well,
that's closer to my heart.
Start out with still a huge story out here.
Ongoing story.
The Hunter Biden laptop.
It was real, y'all. It was real.
From day one. And in fact, just this past week in that Hunter Biden gun trial, it was actually, there was testimony and evidence put into the trial that remember when the guy at the repair shop got the laptop, that was like November of 2015. He then took it to the FBI after he made a copy. Thank God he made a copy,
Yes.
and he gave it to the FBI. And on December 13th of 2015, the FBI verified that it was Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yes,
And
but
so
that
we
was not the
went,
narrative.
no, and so we went through this next year, year and a half of Russian disinformation. This has all the hallmarks, and everybody, all the former spy chiefs and everything, all lying about it because the FBI had already authenticated it, and they finally had to come clean just this past week.
All right, what else are what are some other reasons not to necessarily believe the Justice Department numbers?
Well, we can start back. You know, we mentioned 2016 with the Hillary Clinton campaign and the whole Trump-Russia collusion. How we wasted 2.5 years, would you say, on that, of every single night Donald Trump being hammered as a Russian agent of Vladimir Putin and
While he
everything
was
else.
president, he was
What?
dealing with
Well,
this.
before he was president,
And then,
they tried to, you know, get the election thrown to Hillary for
yeah.
that, and then of course they carried it right through his administration
Yeah.
for another year or so until finally that the nitwit came out with the report. What was his name again? I can't
Steele?
remember. No, that was part of the no
Pedrazzi.
the actual report that showed there was nothing there.
Oh,
But anyway, so yeah,
and
the Trump-Russia collusion, complete fiction. So why we don't believe the Justice Department, the FBI, there's a great example.
here's one that's near and dear to my heart because it's healthcare. The COVID misinformation that came from Fauci, and we've covered this on a previous episode. And Fauci is now he's being called to task. I don't think anything's actually going to happen to him. He's still going to retire off into the sunset. But he is admitting now that they knew it came from the Wuhan lab. They knew that mask didn't work. They knew that the 6 feet mandatory distancing, they literally made it up. And I don't want to hammer this on too much because, again, we've talked about this before, but they wanted to do 10 feet and then thought nobody would comply. So they changed the 10 feet to 6 feet. But there was no scientific evidence or basis for that whatsoever. And I'll just finish on that before we go on to the next section of our episode. And thank you so much. We see you watching live, and please feel free to comment if you're comfortable. Oh gosh. Oh, if the vaccines were really vaccines, and this came up when we were visiting my parents, but oddly not with my parents, with a total stranger, then how come every person I know who's been vaccinated has had COVID? And some people multiple times. Multiple times. That's not a vaccine, guys. That's not a
No, that's
vaccine.
just a treatment,
It's a
right?
yes. And I blame both Trump and Biden. I blame both of them. Trump started that, rapid, whatever the wording was, to get the vaccines
Operation
out.
Warp Speed.
Thank you. And then Biden continued it. So they're both at blame for that. So,
It would, however, just one more part on that. It was this co whole COVID thing. Once the media realized this could hurt Trump in the election,
oh, they jumped
that
on
was it.
it.
Remember every night on CNN and MSNBC, they had the death count, right?
Yes, they
Like
did.
live. And as soon as Biden takes over, poof, disappeared.
Yeah.
That's
But continue. Let's continue
well,
talking. For those who are just now joining us, we are talking about crime.
crime and what's happening at our southern border is a huge contributing factor
Yes.
into what's going on in crime waves across the country.
Yes, and we did a whole episode on immigration, season 3, episode 1. So approximately 2 months ago or so, we did a deep dive into immigration. But now let's talk about immigration specifically and how crime, since that's the, yeah, so give us
Yeah,
some bullet
well,
points and we'll dive
I
deep.
mean, from the Daily Mail, a wonderful publication from the UK, who often are unafraid to deal in topics that
And
a
they
lot of
actually
our
do good
media doesn't.
research.
They do
Yes.
really do.
Yeah, they
They have
do.
really a lot of pictures too. So,
Okay, give us the highlights and we'll dive
so
deep.
yeah, they're saying a brutal Venezuelan sex trafficking gang is now in America's biggest cities. You've got Chinese organized crime syndicates are running drug farms with slave labor in half a dozen US states. Mexican drug cartels are operating human smuggling operations over the southern border with near impunity. And just this past Tuesday last week, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, apprehended 8 ISIS operatives in Los Angeles, New York, and Philadelphia.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to dive deep, a little deeper into those 3 bullet points. And let's start with the Venezuelan sex trafficking. So this is the newest gang to
infiltrate.
Oh, my God. Maybe it's because I had 2 cups of coffee. Our country. I'm not going to pronounce this correctly. Tren de Aragua. So it's a territory in Venezuela. So this transnational criminal gang has origins in Venezuelan prison in the late 2000s. But its members have since exported their savage brand to America. This is from the article, hiding millions of Venezuelan migrants who have fled the crumbling socialist dictatorship. So there have been at least 2 million gotaways since Biden took office in 2021. And if you haven't heard that term before, gotaways are illegal immigrants who don't want to be processed through the incredibly, you know, lax vetting system we are employing. And essentially, they get away, right? And we never hear from them again. They disappear. And there's only one reason they won't come through those entry portals, and that's because they're easily identifiable as a gang member or wanted criminal. And so we are knowingly letting in Venezuelan gangs that are trafficking, and I'm assuming young women.
Yeah. So think about it. You have this Biden administration that basically says, come to these ports of entry, come on in, right? Yes. We'll get you in here. We'll send you anywhere you want to go in the country. But yet you've got 2 million people that are saying, you know what? I'm going to go in a different part of the border where they're not going to come after me because they're so tied up doing all of these administrative things. And all of these gang members, especially like MS-13, they all have very distinctive tattoos.
Yes.
And that way they would be identifiable at the border if they came through these certain portals. So they're going around, obviously bringing drugs with them too, human smuggling, everything else. And, or these are people that have criminal histories in the past that maybe Interpol that we have aligned with could identify them as such. So the people that are coming through the border, the 10 million, probably at least 12, and then at least a couple of million gotaways are not the, I think Trump would call them bad hombres.
Right? Well, okay, that leads us to the next one. Give us another.
Yeah, so the Mexican drug cartel. So the border chief revealed this week that members of Mexico's Jalisco New Generation cartel had been busted running organized crime rackets in Florida, which is nearly 1,000 miles away from the border. So this is way more than a border problem, right? So they're running drug and human smuggling operations that invariably they lead to higher crime rates. You can't invite these people into your neighborhoods, into your cities, doing illegal things and not expect crime to increase.
Yes. And then Chinese migrants. I think this is the one that maybe people don't know as much about.
Correct.
I think you hear more about cartels and drugs and gangs. But so this is fascinating. Hundreds of properties in Maine, again, Maine's not a border state, guys, have been investigated as Chinese migrant gang-run pot farms. And these operations have also sprung up across the country in California. Oh, my Lord. No more 2 cups of coffee for me. California, New Mexico, and Washington State. So again, New Mexico and California, absolutely border states, but I don't think you would think Maine or Washington State. So these pot farms depend on trafficked and forced labor from Chinese migrants who have flown up through Central America into Mexico and U.S. in the recent years. At least 37,000 Chinese people have reportedly entered the U.S. through Texas in 2023 alone, and to give some perspective, that number is 10 times higher than the past 10 years combined.
So 37,000 Chinese just in 2023.
Just through Texas.
Through Texas.
Yes.
Which is combined the last 10 years together, and it's 10 times that number. Right?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
You said that very backwards and
yes,
weird.
I
but
did.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Some dyslexics out there will get it.
All right, so sum this up for us, Edward.
Well, you always hear the left talking about, well, immigrants are good for our country and everything. First off, rule number one, there must be a net gain for the host country,
Yes,
okay?
and that's true of every
And
other
any
country.
country in the world,
Yes.
right? But the leftists are going to tell you that immigrants commit crime at a lower rate than native-born Americans, right? Don't fall for that crap because that's what it is. First off, you're committing a crime by for coming here illegally,
Illegally.
right? So there it is. But your response should always be, any crime committed by an illegal is unacceptable, right?
Yes.
We have enough to worry about
Yes, we
here
do.
in our own country
Yes.
with our homegrown crimes. We do not need to import crime,
Yes,
right?
I
It's
agree.
very simple. And if you commit any crime in our country, your ass should be out of here.
I totally agree. And so again, just to recap what we were talking about specifically with immigration crime, we talked about Venezuelan sex trafficking, Mexican drug cartels, and Chinese migrants that are operating pot farms. So I agree with Edward. We do have very different politics, but I completely agree with him. Any crime by anyone is unacceptable, but definitely like any crime, if you're coming here illegally, you should be out, done,
Well,
goodbye.
just reverse it and you go to some other country
Oh, they
as
would
a
never tolerate it.
guest, right? Well,
Never
first
talk.
off, if you go in there illegally,
You're
you're
out.
out or you're in jail, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
But if you commit a crime
You're
while you're
gone.
there,
You're gone.
you well, they'll put you in their jail for a while
That's
and then
true.
they'll send you home.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So this is the thing, like, why? I think it's this whole idea of America being the melting pot and everything, but guess what? America's grown up. We need to be a, I don't know, I'm going on a rant here, grown ass country, and there's really no other country in the world that would allow this to be happening at their border.
Well, that and to me, it's do we really need to import tens of millions of extremely uneducated poor people? No, we don't. I'm sorry, we do not. We let in 1 million people a year legally
Yes.
through work programs and everything else. We do not need to bring in more people that on net are not going to contribute to our society.
Yeah. All right. So we see more people joining us, watching us live. Thank you so much. We are going to go to a really good segment. This Week in Wins. We do have a This Week in Wins from our good friend Chris Queen at PJ Media. Tell us what the Week in Win is, Edward.
It's a win this week.
It's a
So,
good one.
headline: fitness Instagrammer declares that Pride Month is unnecessary.
All right, tell us more.
Okay, from the article. Gay Pride Month is so perversive that when a gay,
Pervasive.
excuse me, pervasive,
I do.
perverted,
Well, I just had
thank
to
you,
clarify there.
that when a gay person bucks the Pride narrative, people take notice. Meet Becky Weiss.
Shout out, Becky.
She calls herself a patriot and a truth seeker in her Instagram bio, and she devotes her channel largely to fitness instruction. In one of her pinned reels, she discusses the need to save the tomboys, girls like her whom society wants to tell that they were born in the wrong body and need to damage themselves irreversibly.
I'm with her, man. And save the
Amen.
tomboys. So
Absolutely.
tell us more.
So Weiss is obviously from the same article. Weiss is obviously a lesbian, but she's not the insufferable kind. That's a classic line there. She strikes me as the kind of person who would be fun to hang out with for beer, bourbon, and burgers. Her infectious positivity and eloquent honesty add to her appeal. Weiss replies to the question on her reel, "What is your opinion on Pride Month?" And her answer is both refreshing and
Can
encouraging.
I give her answer? I
You
love
may.
it.
You
We're
may.
gonna tag you.
Yeah.
To put it lightly, it is completely unnecessary, she begins. Like, what are we marching for? We have all of our rights. We not just have equality, but we have preferential treatment at this point. In generations past, it was absolutely necessary because there was something to fight for. It used to be a celebration of love, community, and acceptance. And at this point, it is a month-long celebration of entitlement, arrogance, and hedonism, she declares.
I love that. That is a great line. It's now entitlement, arrogance, and hedonism.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, and go ahead.
She sums up, if Pride is ever going to survive, we need a serious revamp of exactly what it is we are celebrating. Because what it is today is dismantling all of the acceptance and support that the generations before us worked so hard to build. Amen.
Yeah, okay. That all caps amen for Edward.
You know, as I was thinking about this young lady, and I watched the Instagram reel and everything.
Yeah, and we are going to tag her.
You know, it used to be when the whole gay pride movement was growing.
Yeah.
It was, hey, we're just like you. We just want to fit into society, yes. Right? We're your neighbors down the street. No. I love her when she says this is a month-long celebration of entitlement, arrogance, and hedonism.
Yes.
Go down and see a gay pride parade. And
it's quite different.
Yes. It's not quite the person next door, is it?
No, yeah. No. Yeah. And I just want to jump in here. So since when we were visiting my parents last weekend, I've been doing a lot of comedy lately.
You've been doing stand-up. We went to an open mic night.
And it was fascinating because we go into this bar that we knew had an open mic night. And we didn't know it was a queer bar, which, by the way, we had to tell my father it's okay to say queer now. That was kind of funny. And so, it didn't matter.
It was a college town.
It was a college town, but this bar in particular was right. A queer bar. Again, we didn't care. They didn't care. So this much older gentleman went up, and you only get 5 minutes in these open mic nights. So every minute you want to soak up and you want to, you know, get feedback on your ideally jokes, right? Trying to make people laugh. This guy spent 4 out of the 5 minutes, older white gentleman.
Hippie-ish.
Yes. Although too young to have been a hippie during that
Correct.
Time.
A wannabe hippie.
And 4 minutes saying how much he loved and appreciated and accepted the LGBTQ people, right? To the point where the host, the MC of the event, who was a lesbian, and I'm not calling her that, she said that, she finally said, we get it, you like us, move on. I mean, you know, if she was irritated.
It was pandering virtue signaling, right? That,
oh my
hey,
God.
I'm with you people. But when you've got 5 minutes and you spend 4 minutes of it just talking about, you know, great lesbian or gay comedians in the past and we get it.
I mean, the host was even disgusted.
Well, I thought it was interesting with this host, this young lady, and she was the host for the night. So she
was
went,
super cute. Yeah.
Very, very nice young lady.
Yeah.
Went up on stage.
Doll.
And she said, so she gets to do a little bit of her comedy
right.
while she hosts duties also. And yeah. she says, well, as you can probably tell, I'm a lesbian.
And you and I looked at each other and
like,
went,
no.
No.
I mean, she didn't have a butch haircut or anything like that. She just looked 100% absolutely normal.
Well, but let's preface that. It's not that being a lesbian isn't normal. I think that you and I just don't make those kind of assumptions.
Well, she wasn't wearing rainbow colors. She wasn't anything that would say, hey, this person,
she was
you
just
know,
a
likes
really
person
cute.
Of the same sex.
Yeah.
but my, I think my point was, is that it's, you know, gay people, it's not that special anymore. Okay. It's
yeah.
Not,
yeah.
It really isn't. It's like
to quote Dave Rubin, who is gay, who lives with his husband. We won, guys. We won.
Yeah. Take the win.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Right. All right.
All right. So we've got it this week in WTF, or as I like to say, because I want that black X from Apple explicit this week in What the Fuck from our good friend Olivia Murray at the American Thinker. Let's make sure we tag her.
Yeah.
Edward gave me this one because I lived in Los Angeles for so long. This is a good one, guys. The first of its kind luxury apartment building for the homeless set to open in a matter of weeks, costing the taxpayers $165 million. Okay, and this is from the article. So spend $165 million to build the most expensive meth lab, excuse me, I mean luxury apartment high rise for the homeless, and the most notorious neighborhood in the nation, while in the midst of a historic budget crisis, a deficit so bad that politicians are looking to cut everything from the few remaining police officers to other emergency services and implementing temporary tax hikes on small businesses. So this is going on in sort of my former hometown, if you will, of Los Angeles. And so this is according to the article by Doug Smith, directly from the Los Angeles Times. So we have a couple different sources here. So a brand of new ritzy residential facilities in the Skid Row neighborhood is set to open in a matter of weeks. Now, I've been to Skid Row.
Why?
Because
sightseeing?
Because back in the day when my nonprofit did these community events, if we had leftover food, we took it to Skid Row.
Okay, so it was altruistic.
It was very, okay. Yes. But not a good neighborhood, like really scary. It's downtown LA. So, but in Skid Row, they're building a 19-story tower. It has 278 units, each one costing around $600,000.
I'm sorry, how much?
$600,000.
Per unit.
Per unit. All paid for by the American taxpayers. Now, I want to know if that's by, I think that's probably by California taxpayers.
Oh, there's federal money in there, I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm sure.
What's really just side note interesting about this is that if you want to watch a show on Apple TV, but you got to take it with it, it's just, you just got to go with it. Now I know where they got their entire plot line for their season. The show is called Loot with Maya Rudolph. And it is exactly this. Like, they talk about this. Okay. Like, she has all this money and she builds this. So that's where they got it from. Anyway, so now this is just the first building of three. The properties are, and this is a quote, meant to be a self-contained environment that will insulate its formerly homeless residents from the squalor and hopelessness around them, and at the same time, elevate the neighborhood. Now, not only are the units themselves high-end, but the entire building is full of luxury amenities. Gosh, seriously, two cups of coffee. All right.
Tell us more.
So besides a floor of offices for caseworkers, there are conference rooms and property managers. There's a tower boasts a gym, an art room. I want to know what an art room is. A soundproof music room. Oh, my God. Okay. This is pissing me. Why did you give me this? It's pissing
just
me off.
To
this
see.
Week. Yeah.
Get you going here.
I know. A computer room, library, a TV lounge, six common balconies, four of them with dog runs, and a ground floor cafe with a two-story glass wall facing a courtyard. I'm so glad I don't live in LA anymore. I mean, I love my friends out there, but I'm so glad. Each room, so there's 228 studios and 51 bedroom apartments. And I would love to see how they figure out who gets a studio and who gets an apartment, but okay. Has its own TV, and the cafe will also bring residents together on movie nights.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. So according to 2023 data from the Greater Los Angeles Homeless Count, there were 75,518 homeless people in LA County.
Just in the county.
Just in the county.
Okay.
That's a big county, to be fair. It's yes. A big county. So with these 278 units, that means they've only got 75,240 to go. Now, I don't think that's actually fair. That's directly from the article because it's, you know, hopefully more than one person will be living in each unit. You know, there might be families.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes. This is crazy, though.
What is the main root cause of homelessness, especially in Southern California?
Usually drug abuse.
Drug use.
Or mental illness.
Correct.
Or
and,
both.
And usually one leads to the other, right?
They can go hand in hand.
Right.
Absolutely,
so,
yes.
So you're building, what is it, 19-story towers that's going to basically be like an opium den. Right.
Just occurred to me that my mother would do quite well there.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Right now she lives in a trailer park with a bunch of meth heads. She should move to LA and move there.
Yes. Now they're going to build two more, I believe, right?
Oh,
two or three more,
yeah.
Right? Now, what are the odds that those are going to go to like illegals, right?
Oh.
They'll put all the illegals in one of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is insane, people.
It really
You've
is.
You've got people that, you know, right now living in tents, pooping in the streets and whatnot. And you think all of a sudden they're going to go into these brand new apartments and everything's going to be hunky dory.
Well, they won't be pooping in the streets anymore. They'll just be pooping
hallways.
In the apartments. Yeah, hallways.
Probably hallways. Yeah, something like that. Walk out and whatever.
I think what makes me so upset is that I lived in LA for a very long time. And I was never able to afford to actually buy a home. And because it's so expensive to live there, it's the price of sunshine, as people like to say. But this is crazy, giving away these apartments to homeless people strictly because they're homeless, no vetting whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to throw out a complete audible here
Okay.
because there was another story this week, and Kamala Harris announced it, whatever thing she was mumbling through, that the Biden administration is now going to give first-time homeowners, and if your parents have never owned a home,
Oh, we talked about this
yeah, the
before.
first
We did.
generational homeowners, $25,000 and $400 a month to cover payments.
We talked about this
Yes,
before.
but
Yes.
that kind of dovetails with this, where you just cannot keep giving things away. You can't.
Well, it also, what it does is it creates, it's sort of like when welfare started, you are now creating generations of people who are better off not working, better off being poor and being dependent on the government. That's what you're teaching generations of.
Well, one thing that Kamala was talking about is this generational wealth, aka she's, coded white people, have this incredible wealth that we just pass from generation to generation. It's
Yeah, there's nothing coming
yeah, same here, same
my
here. But yet this is generational welfare, right?
Yeah. Oh,
And
yeah.
it's not
Yes, it is.
that's not the train you want to be on.
No. All right. That was a good this week and what the fuck.
Got you a little dander up there a little bit, didn't
Well,
I? For good reason.
yeah. But I mean, I really like if I had a relationship with my mother, I would send her a brochure for this place and I would even pay for a one-way plane ticket and say, go there.
Send her Trailways on the bus.
Oh God, people are gonna think we're so twisted. All
Yeah.
right, okay. Thank you so much for joining us today live. We do see you out there. We appreciate you being live. Please follow us on all social media platforms. We did take a little bitty break because of the travel and the vacay that wasn't a vacay, but otherwise we will be back live every Sunday, 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stream live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And if you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day on Monday morning, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. So your reviews mean so much. For every review, more people find our show. And guess what? If you're afraid of leaving a review in your real name, you can create a pseudonym. Go right ahead. It's okay. And you can follow us. You can get on our email list and find all the social media stuff at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show.
May I tease a bit?
Tease away. You tease me every day.
Here's a teaser. Nope,
Okay.
I'm not going there. Here's a
I tried. I
teaser.
tried to bait him a little.
Coming up on the 27th of this month, in a week from this coming Thursday, we have our first presidential debate.
Calendar.
It is, of which, so we're going to be touching on that, giving that a preview next week.
Oh, we're giving it a preview?
Oh, we are, because
I didn't know
things
we're
might
gonna
possibly be in the work for an RFK to join
be.
the.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that would be both amazing and torturous.
And
It would be torturous.
to give away a little bit of what I was going to talk about next week, I think the Democrats now want RFK Jr. on stage
Why?
because it's less time for Joe Biden to have to answer questions.
Oh, that's true. They don't want him doing that.
RFK Jr.'s voice is not good,
No.
so it will turn off a lot of people,
Yeah.
but it will give the Democrats some cover, if you will.
Okay. Well, that was a big tease there. Just gave it away, basically.
No, oh no, there's more.
All right.
There's
Okay.
more for sure.
Join us live next Sunday again, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and follow us at myfavoriteconservative.show. And we hope you and yours have a wonderful Father's Day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.